Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter number 1. We're going to be going through the book of Joshua next. I was a little torn about which book of the Bible that God wanted us to go through, and I really like the book of Joshua. I was waiting to do it on a Sunday night or sometime when the young people were around because I think it could be a help and encouragement too, but I think the Lord led us this path in this way, and so for the next number of weeks, next number of months, we'll be going through this book, and it's really a phenomenal book of the Bible. Joshua is most of you know, is the person who God chose to lead the nation of Israel to the promised land. He was, it was kind of a passing of the mantle from Moses to Joshua. What do we know about Joshua? We know he was born as a slave back in Egypt. You say, well, how do you know he was a slave? Well, everybody was a slave back then and when they were in Egypt. And then that was about when he was 40, and when he was about 80 years old, this is the time when he takes over the mantle there. We also know that God used him as a commander when he fought the armies for the first time. Remember when Moses was standing there and the guys helped propped up his arms. Joshua was the one that was leading the command there. We also know him as a servant. The Bible talks about how Joseph was a minister, and it even says that at verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Now, not in the idea there, that word minister is referring to more like Moses' servant. It wasn't like he was Moses' preacher. He was one that ministered to his needs, sort of like what John Mark was supposed to do with Paul and Barnabas when we were looking up at the book of Acts here. And we know that Joshua now is taking on this leadership role and this leadership that God has called him to do. And this is no light task. You know, 40 years earlier, Moses had taken a large group into the promised land, and they refused to go into the promised land. We know that Joshua was one of the two spies that came back with Caleb and says, look, we're well able to overcome them. But they listened to the 10 spies. We know that all of them passed away in the wilderness for those 40 years. One preacher put it this way about the book of Joshua. It was, in the book of Genesis, Israel was born. In the book of Exodus, Israel was chosen. In the book of Numbers, the nation was proven. In the book of Leviticus, it was brought nigh by the blood. In Deuteronomy, it was instructed. Now in the book of Joshua, it faces conflict and conquest. The book of Joshua completes the redemption of Israel. It began in Exodus, and that redemption was when they were brought out. But now they've been brought into the promised land, and this is the book of redemption. Now, you say, why in the world would we want to learn about the book of Joshua? You say, it's how many years old? Well, first of all, it's got some great stories in it. We learn about Caleb, we learn about Rahab, we learn about Joshua, we learn about the parting of the Jordan River, we learn about the stones that they stack up. It's just a lot of great stories in it. But there is something interesting that I think can be applicable to the day and time that we live in, is that Joshua and the people here were given a opportunity. Look what it says on verse number 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Now, if you went there and you measure that out, I didn't measure it out. I'm just going based off information from other people. 300,000 square miles. They're saying that is your inheritance. That is what he has promised to Abraham back in the book of Genesis. Well, the Israelites only claimed 30,000 of it. Only about 10% of it. And you say, well, what does that have to do with us today? Well, I honestly believe that the book of Joshua talks about conquest, and it talks about conflict. There's a lot of conflict in here. They've been promised this, but we know they had to follow God's way about Jericho. We know that they're going to go face Ai. We know what's going to happen to Gibeonites. We know what happens when the giants come. But there's much conflict, but there's also conquest in this book. And in our Christian lives, I think that 10% is many times all that we live in. God has given us so many promises. He has given us a victorious Christian life that we can live. He has given us so many opportunities and so many promises, but we only claim a very small percentage of them. And when we come to this book of the Bible, we're going to look at this, and I'm hoping while through the preaching and teaching of this book, it will teach us as modern Christians that we can obtain spiritual victory in our life if we're willing to do what God has called us to do. Now, I know sometimes when people sing about songs of Canaan land, they think that it's referring to heaven. And if you want to believe that, you can. But in heaven, there will not be conflict. In heaven, there will not be war. In heaven, there will not be, you know, slavery and things like that. This is referring to a victorious Christian life. When you're talking about Canaan land, it's talking about the time when you get to the spot where God wants you to, where God's planned for you to be, where you can have victory won time and time again. Joshua here deals with these things in these pages. And my truth is that these people have been wandering around in the wilderness, some almost 40 years. It's that we stop wandering and that we start living in victory. Is that we stop being wandering around in the wilderness, but instead we get into our Canaan land. Does it mean there won't be any battles? No, there is battles, but there's victories to be won. There's things that we need to claim. Joshua is a picture book in a sense. It's about possessing your possessions. It's about the children of Israel laying claim to the land that God had given them. In a sense, in their New Testament, they have a counterpart. Most of the times, different books of the Bible picture other books of the Bible. I think the picture book in this one would be consider Ephesians. It's about realizing the blessings of God. It's talking about sitting in the heavenlies in Ephesians 1:3, I believe. Realizing the blessings of God and walking in them. And here, Joshua and the children of Israel have been given this opportunity to be able to take over 300,000 square miles of land. This is the land they've been promised since Abraham. This is the land they were looking forward to. Can you imagine living in Egypt and having those stories passed down from generation to generation to generation about this land that was coming? And now they're there. They are sitting there and they're ready to step out by faith. So I think the book of Joshua has some incredible application for us. It's about experiencing a Christian life at its fullest. It's not about doing things halfway. It's about trusting God, and we're going to see some things even tonight about how we can experience our Christian life to the fullest, how we can be able to live a victorious Christian life. Let's go ahead and just read verses 1 through 9. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel." I want you to see where it says that he is giving it to them. "Every place, now listen, that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, and shall be your coast." Excuse me. "There shall not any man," and listen to these promises he gives, "there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." And then he says, "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous." So he says a second time here, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Now, this familiar verse here in verse number 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage." We see this a third time. "Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, I pray as we open up this new book, Lord, you help us. Lord, as we always look into new areas of the Bible, Lord, we always want to learn. We always want to grow. We want to see how they apply to our lives. And we know as we study more, as we look more into things, Lord, you open up even more of our understanding. Lord, I pray tonight that we understand that Joshua had this great opportunity ahead of him. And Lord, the opportunity to be a leader and to be victorious. And Lord, to be able to conquer much land. And Lord, it seems like the children of Israel, they failed to get most of the blessing. Lord, in our Christian lives, help us not to be like that. Help us not to be thankful, or help us not to be satisfied with just 10%. Help us be interested in learning more and growing more. Help us not to live a defeated Christian life, one full of guilt, one full of sin, one full of anxiety. Help us instead to reach forward, Lord, forgetting those things which are behind. And Lord, help us to reach out to those things you have for us. Help us to live victoriously, Lord. Help us to learn from Joshua the lessons we can learn, Lord, about victorious Christian living. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight's message is Joshua's Commission. Joshua's Commission. The first thing I want you to see is God's call in Joshua's life. God's call in Joshua's life is found in verses 1 through 4. He was first called to be a leader. So many times you look around Christians' lives today and they look like they're living a defeated Christian life. So many times people look like they're moping, like they're miserable, they struggle with sins, and with all intents and purposes, it's like they're walking around a spiritual wilderness. And that's what these people have been doing for these many years. They look to Moses, they trusted Moses, and God is going to make Joshua great in their eyes, and God is going to make, as Moses was, Joshua to these people. God needed a leader. He went from being a slave to a minister or a servant to a commander to a spy to now a leader. And God is the one that causes you to triumph in the leadership. It's not about how many classes you have. It's not about what you can learn. It's about what God can do in your life. The Bible says, now thanks be unto God, which causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Bible talks about, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Bible says, but thanks be to God, which give us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And to be a leader in this spot, they're going to have to believe and trust in God. Verses 1 through 4, he says, look, my servant Moses is dead now. Now I have a job for you. He says, I want you to go. He says in verse number 2, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, to the land which I give to them, even the children of Israel. So it was a call to be a leader. And you say many times people shy away, oh, I'm not a leader. Well, you know what? In our Christian lives, we can influence people. We can be a leader for someone else. We can allow God to help triumph us. We can allow God to help us to have the victory. We can be a person that God takes and uses. And you're never going to be a good leader if you're living a life of defeat. You think about it. God is passing the mantle of leadership of these over a million people to Joshua here. How does Joshua feel about his responsibility? He feels overwhelmed. So where do you get that in the Bible? Well, there's three different times where he says, be strong and of a good courage. You go to verse number 9, he says, be not afraid, neither be dismayed. So he gets this idea that Joshua is feeling overwhelmed. He is weak in a sense. He is wondering about, what is this great responsibility? Okay, Moses is gone. I know they've chosen me to be leader. I don't know if I can do this. God says, be strong. Be of good courage. And many times in our Christian lives, when we don't think we can do something, we let the devil stop us with fear. We let the devil rob us of our joy. We let the devil stop us from doing what God's called us to do because of the fact that we're afraid. And that's what I think Joshua is here. And I think Joshua is ready for this, but he's just a little bit overwhelmed. I told you one of the things that stopped me from answering God's call to preach is the exact same thing here, is that just not feeling worthy. Overwhelmed about what God had called me to do. And you get to these verses and he says, look, you know what? You need to be a leader. Be strong. Be of good courage. Let's stand up. Let's do something for God. And I'm not talking about some people get a hobby horse. Some people get emphatic about something that might not even be spiritually minded. And they think that they're right and they're strong and they're courageous about whatever it is. It has nothing to do with the Bible. It has nothing more to deal with the preference. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking when God wants you to step out by faith, to conquer something for God, to do something for the Lord, to have victory over sin, to give forgiveness to somebody else, to maybe have the courage to sing in a choir, or teach a class, or the courage to disciple somebody, or the courage to witness to somebody, or the courage to be the right husband, to be the right wife. And we stand, he says, be strong and of a good courage. Because I know there are some people out there that are very strong and very courageous about what they believe when it comes to maybe politics, about what they believe when it comes to how they feel about their preferences. I'm talking about living a victorious Christian life, taking a stand for God. And that's what God says. I have a plan for these people. God has a plan for your life. He's calling you to follow after him. And the next thing he is calls him not only to be a leader, but he calls him to claim the land. Calls him to claim the land. You see what we saw here in verse number 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And then verse number 4 gives a description there. God told Abraham, I will give unto thee and to thy seed the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. He makes a promise many years earlier. He says, look, I am going to give you this land. You know, where you're a stranger at right now, where they don't know who you are, I'm going to give you this land, and that I am going to be the people's God. I mean, what a wonderful promise. Now, God tells Joshua, I want you to go and do it. You say, well, that sounds pretty easy. No, no, no. Over the Jordan River, which there's waters that are flowing over the banks right now, which you cannot get across without God's help, there's a city named Jericho, walls that are tall. You know what? They need God's help. They need God's trusting. And in our Christian lives, we are called to claim the land that God's given us. He said, what land are you talking about? I'm not talking about real estate. I'm talking about maybe the peace of God that God gives in our heart. I'm talking about when God says we can be filled with his spirit and we can produce things such as joy, and love and peace, long-suffering, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about claiming the land that God has given us. He has not saved you so you live a defeated Christian life. He has not saved you so you can take 10% of the blessings that God has intended for your life and says, okay, I'm going to live in these 10%. I'm going to be happy with these 10%. Look, 10% is better than nothing. No, that's defeated. That's like, I can't get over the sin. I have to deal with it for the rest of my life. Or I can't memorize or I can't learn more about the Bible, so I'm not going to read it at all. Or I can't. No, that's defeated Christian lives, and that's what happens to these people here. God has intended for them 300,000 square miles, and you know what? They take about 10% of it. Christian, we need to learn to, God's call for our life is to be strong and to be of a good courage, not to be afraid, not to be dismayed, not to be overwhelmed and broken, but instead to follow after his leading and his calling for your life. What has God called you to do that you have shied away from? What is it that God is asking you to do that you say, I can't do it? That's a defeated Christian life. Second thing I want you to see is not only God's call, I want you to see God's promises. I love this part. And it talks about in verse number 5, listen to these things. You're thinking, man, if God told me this, I would be willing to go fight. Listen, there shall, in verse number 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. So he's promising victory over every man. He says, no man's going to be able to stand before you all the days of thy life. Now listen, it says, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. So he promises him victory over every enemy. He promises in the presence and power of God. And it keeps on going. It says, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He's saying, look, I'm going to be faithful to you. Verse number 6 says, and be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. He says, look, you have victory. I've already given you the victory. In verse number 6, it also says he's going to keep his promises. It says, which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. If you're sitting there and you're Joshua and you're saying, wow, God, you want me to go claim this land, the land that 40 years ago they wouldn't even go and fight, the land that they refused to go into, now you're telling me you want me to go claim all this land? How in the world are we going to do this? And God says, here, let me tell you, no man's going to be able to stand to you. He says, just as I had the power of God on Moses' life, that power will be with you, just as I was faithful with Moses. And you got to remember, manna for how many years? You remember how the shoes were fine for how many years? You remember how God provided for them at the Red Sea, and God provided them for them when they were back in the book of Exodus, and God did all these things. He says, just as I was faithful to him, I'm going to be faithful to you. And then he says, and then start planning the victory. God's going to give you the victory. I think sometimes our faith is what is so weak that we feel like that person doesn't want to hear the gospel. There's no way our church could grow. There's no way I could ever have that relationship that I want to with my parents or with my children or with my grandchildren. There's no way. You know what? We live a defeated Christian life. Now, you say, well, God, if God gave me those promises that God has given Joshua, then I would do the same thing. Well, he gives us the same promises. He tells us in his word that he gives us victory over enemies. The Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That next verse says, who is he that overcometh the world? Okay, say, okay, there it is. It says, even our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. That doesn't sound like me. Well, what's the next verse says? Okay, well, let's clarify. Who's the one that overcomes the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. If you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, he says you have inside of you, just like we learn in Romans chapter number 6, you do not have to sin. You can overcome this world. That is a promise he gives us. Then why do we live with sin? Why do we keep on dealing and playing with the sin if he says we can have victory? He also talks about being present with us, just as he did in verse number 5. He says, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. He tells us the same thing. He tells us he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. Matthew 28:18, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. But in verse number 20, he says, teaching them observe all things whatsoever I commanded, and lo, I am with you always. He says, look, I got all power in heaven and earth, and I'm going with you. He's telling Joshua, look, just like I was with Moses, I'm going to go with you into this land that you've never been to. And he says to us the exact same promise. He says, stop living that defeated Christian life. Lo, I am with you always. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. I have the power to succeed in your life if you'll let me. And he keeps on going and about being faithful. And God teaches that. He gives us absolute victory. But thanks be to God, which give us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know he keeps his promises. Romans 4:21, and being persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able also to perform. I think sometimes we get to the spot, I know God is able, but is God willing? I know that's a question that many times people ask. Yeah, I know God's able, but is God willing? You know, the question is, are we willing to step out by faith, live a holy life, to let God show us and demonstrate what he wants us to do? We stand high behind that question. Yeah, I believe God's able. I know God can. But is God willing? That's where faith comes in. That's where, you know, that's what Joshua was saying. Yeah, I know God's able to take care of Canaan. I know God's able to take care of Jericho. But until you take that step out into the Jordan River, until you get to verse number 11, he goes through the host of the people and says, get ready. We're getting ready to go. Until you take that step, that's where victory is going a little bit further. So we see, first of all, God's call in Joshua's life. And next thing is God's promises. And he has given us so many promises. He has given us so much, just as you read verses 5 and 6, and you're like, man, Joshua, you have it made. God says that none of this stuff's going to happen to you. You got this. It's all fine. It's all good. Start dividing up the land. But there's conflict that's coming, just like in our Christian lives. There's a spiritual battle coming. There's a test of faith. There's sin that's going to be in the camp. There's going to be thinking, I can do things better in AI. I got this figured out. I don't have to ask God about this. There's those that are just going to sit there and be tricked by the world. You know, why? It's because he forgot his responsibility some of the time. Look at what it says here in verses 7, 8, and 9. This is Joshua's responsibility. We see God's call. We see God's promises. Now Joshua's responsibility. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it from the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So the first thing his responsibility was to do was to keep the law. He was supposed to do everything the law said to do. He was not supposed to turn from it the least bit, not from the right hand or to the left. It still amazes me that people say God doesn't really care what we do. Now, don't get me wrong. I know this is under the law and we're under grace. But some people have this corrupt feeling and this lie from the devil that grace gives us the opportunity to do whatever we want and God doesn't care. They need to go to Romans chapter 6 and say, shall we continue in sin? God forbid. Because no, we shouldn't continue in sin. That's using the cloak of liberty maliciously. It's just not doing what God has called us to do. And it wasn't true in the nation of Israel. When they lived for God, God was able to use them. When they didn't live for God, they got sold into slavery. When they lived for God, they had great victory. When they didn't live for God, they had great defeat. And it's the same thing here. Joshua is being told, this is your first responsibility, keep the law. Second thing is, and once again, I know we're not under the law, but God has given us a requirement, a calling of a holy calling, a high calling of God, that we are supposed to live according to his commandments. So verse number 8, It says that he was supposed to meditate on the law. Look what it says in verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. God's promises here is that if he'll meditate in it day and night, if his mind would be occupied with the law, if he would love it, if he would let his heart be filled with it, let his mind be filled with it. This was the order of the life that we see that is prosperous. That's what it says here. Shall not depart out of thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate in therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now look, for when thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. So the third thing is, he was supposed to prosper by honoring the law. Prosper by honoring the law. God's promise to Joshua was that if he lived his life according to the law of God, if he meditated, if he loved it so much that he put it in his heart, he puts it in his mind, it's what overflows out of him, it's the center of his life. God's saying, then you will be prosperous, then you will have good success. This is the time. We're supposed to feed on the Bible. We're supposed to live by the Bible. We are blessed by the Word of God. Do we set times aside for the Word of God? Do we really seek after God? This past Sunday afternoon, we talked about David seeking after God. It was Psalm 63. We couldn't record it because we didn't have any power, so that makes sense, right? We can't record it. The power came on for like 5 to 10 minutes in the middle of the service. It was really great because I was thinking, wonderful, I'm going to get to go home and there's going to be electricity. After 5 or 10 minutes, it went out again. So, but that's okay. But we talked about seeking God, and if we seek God with our whole heart, and this is, oh God, thou art my God, early why seek thee. He's talking about putting God first, and talked about how he thirsted for God, how he longed for God, how he followed hard after God, and how he did it passionately, but he also did it through praise by the lifting of hands and rejoicing and things like that. Psalm 63, wonderful passages of scripture about seeking after God. And this is the key to success. I may be wrong, but I don't think there's many other spots in the Bible that use the word success. This is it. This is where it's talking about how we can prosper and how we can have success. It's connected with the Word of God. So his responsibilities was to keep the law, was to meditate on the law, he was to prosper by honoring the law, and last but not least, he was supposed to have courage in his leadership. Courage in his leadership. I know we mentioned that earlier, just wanted to remind you and finish with this. Do we have the courage to live for God? Do we have courage and trust to obey his word? Do we have the belief that the promises in verses 5 and 6 are true? Do we have the belief that verses 7, 8, and 9 will change our lives if we take this book that was written thousands of years ago and put it in our heart and put it in our mind? Do we still believe Psalms chapter 1 is right? Do we still believe that we're going to prosper and our leaf is going to get stronger and if we're planted by the rivers of water? So, I wrote it down this way. So his responsibilities was to keep the law, meditate on the law, prosper. This might be a little easier to remember. He was supposed to know the word. Just pretty much it says there in verse number 7, he's supposed to know the word. Verse number 8, he's supposed to talk about the word. It shall not depart out of thy mouth. He's supposed to meditate on the word. The last thing I want you to see there is that he's supposed to obey the word. I know there's people out there that know the word. I know there's people that are out there that talk about the word. And sometimes they take the word of God and try to fit whatever they're trying to say and do. There's some people who even meditate on the word, but the question is, do you obey the word? I think Joshua probably knew the word very well. I think he probably talked about the word. I think he meditated on the word. And you're going to see great successes in Joshua's life, but there's also going to be times when he just plain didn't obey the word. So Christian, as we see Joshua's commission here, And the premise of this is God wanted to do something great for them, but they only took a small percentage of it. I think God wants to do something great in your life. I really do. Each and every one of your lives. And you say, Pastor, what do you mean by great? Am I going to get millions of dollars? Am I going to become famous and this and that? No, no, no. Whatever God has intended for you is great. Whatever God's desire and will for your life is better than anything else you could have. He has a plan and a purpose for you. Just don't be happy or satisfied when he has a victorious Christian life mapped out for you, that you live in a box of your own little world dealing with your sins, living in a small portion of the blessing God's provided for you. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm talking about God has given you promises in his word that you can have victory over sin. I'm telling you that God has given you promises in his word that you can have a peace of God that passeth all understanding. I'm telling you that God tells you that you have promises in your word that his word will not return void if you'll go out and give out the scriptures. I'm telling you that he gives you promises in your word as God, as you hide God's word in your heart, that you're not going to sin against him. I'm telling you that he has given you promise after promise after promise. I'm telling you, hold on to those promises and then live a victorious Christian life. Stop living in the gutter. Stop living defeated Christian lives. This is what the story of Joshua is about. Joshua gets his commission here. Get ready to head out. You're getting ready to go over Canaan. You're getting ready to get over to the promised land. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be conflict. There are going to be giants. There are going to be walls. They're going to a place that they have never been before. The next year is going to be unlike anything they've ever experienced. And it starts with that first foot into the Jordan River. And it starts by believing and trusting in God. They would have never gotten what God had intended for them to have if they would have stayed on that side of the Jordan. What does God want for you in your life? Step out by faith. Be strong and of a good courage. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.